Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. A blessed feast of St. Mary to you all. Last night, we began by speaking about a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 where Solomon dedicated the temple to God, and we spoke about how this dedication of this temple points us to the dedication of St. Mary as the second temple, if you will, to God, and how it is in that place the glory of God shines. And we spoke about how each of us should also, as temples of the Holy Spirit, be places where the glory of God shines forth. And we spoke last night as well about the humility of St. Mary and how she pointed us to her Son. And that the purpose of the temple is not self-glorification, but to bring glory and to reveal glory and to house the glory, to be a holy house for the glory of God, the presence of God. This morning, we're going to speak about how it is that God identifies this temple, this house, this place, as a chosen place. Okay? How it is that it is chosen by God. Last night, we spoke about how the priests, when they witnessed the glory of God that had come upon the temple, were told they bowed their faces to God on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. And we read from 1 Kings 8 that they stopped ministering to God because the glory of God, the heaviness, the weight, the majesty, the splendor of God was so great that they couldn't move. They couldn't continue to do anything. They were simply in awe. When we say that God is awesome, it's like they were overtaken by God's glory and they were just simply in His presence, in worship and in praise. They fell before Him. We're told that the king and the people, they offered sacrifices. In fact, we're told that they offered 20,000 sheep. Well, we know that in the new covenant, there's one sacrifice that's been made once for all for the salvation of mankind, which is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself. We're told further in verse 7, 2 Corinthians 7:7, that Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, and further offerings were made in that place. And finally, in verse 11, this consecration of the temple, we're told that Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Solomon had finished consecrating the house. It had now become a place that was set apart, designated as a holy place that was to be used as no other place. But you'll notice that that house that was designated a holy house was not just the temple, but his very own house. And what this means for us is that our homes should be understood as an extension of the temple. That our house is an extension of God's dwelling place. That it too, as Solomon consecrated his own home, the king's house, as a place for God's dwelling, that our homes too should be an extension furthermore. Let's continue in verse 12 through 16. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself. I heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain or command, the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. It will be a place of God's everlasting presence. But he doesn't simply say it's a chosen place, it's been designated as a place, and so now I'm going to be there forever. What he says is, if these people, when they turn away from me, or if they turn away from me, will repent, I'll heal their land, and I'll make this place a place of perpetual dwelling. We speak about St. Mary as the perpetual dwelling place of God. We just a moment ago said, Akseya, 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 Ti Ageya, Mareya, Ti Parthenos, which means worthy, worthy, worthy. Ti Ageya means the holy, okay? As opposed to God who is Agios, he is the Holy One, he is holiness, she has been made holy, okay? Mareia is Mary, Ti Parthenos, or the Virgin. And we understand her to be, have a perpetual virginity. He says, I will dwell there perpetually. In the Orthodox icon, you'll see sometimes two stars, sometimes three stars. There's truly three stars, but in most of the icons, the third one is hidden behind Christ himself. And the stars here represent the virginity of the Virgin, right? The virginity of St. Mary. That's why we refer to as the Virgin, right? Is that she was a virgin before, during, and after the birth of our Lord. She is a perpetual dwelling place of God. She has been made a holy house, right? Beit HaMakadosh, right? She's the holy house where God has come and dwelt as a chosen place, as an acceptable place, as a place where he can make his home forever and ever. And that chosen place ought to be the church as well, because she's understood as the temple, as an icon of the church, the people of God, where he might choose to make us his dwelling place. We don't refer to St. Mary as Akseya simply because she was a virgin, but rather because she became the dwelling place for God, right? And we know this because when a person, a child or an adult is baptized, we don't say to them worthy before their baptism, right? But as soon as a person is baptized, they become a temple of the Holy Spirit, we immediately say, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Virgin St. Mary. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Christian, and fill in the blank, right? Just as she who has been made a temple, a perpetual dwelling place for the glory of God, she's been made worthy. And God says, I accept this one. I choose this one to carry my son. You too, we too, as the body of Christ, the people of God, become a dwelling place where God can say, this one is worthy. And they've been announced to be worthy as a dwelling place of God, an acceptable place, a chosen place. In fact, the word chosen here literally means you are now acceptable before God. He says, you are now accepted by me. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him. Not just he simply chose us and go about our lives. No, We've been chosen, and now he says, you belong to me. Live a holy life. Your life ought to look different. It ought to be different. It ought to be dedicated. Imagine that glorious temple of God that had been dedicated by Solomon and the people, and they turned it into a place where people would gather just to have meals. Or if they converted it into a place where they threw parties, or they converted it into someone's house, or they converted it into a temple for other gods, we would, like, that would be an unacceptable use for that place. So too, the virgin, her life was dedicated before, during, and after the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Her body literally was fully dedicated to Christ as a place that God would perpetually dwell. Remember, he says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16, "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever." God is looking upon us and saying, "I have chosen this house. I've chosen this house." He's chosen our bodies as a temple for him. "That my name may be there forever." That God would dwell in us forever. That his name would be present in us forever. "And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." Ongoing. How beautiful it is that he doesn't just say, "I will be there." He says, "My eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." The eyes of God. The illumination of God, the ability to see correctly, truly, purely, and to be seen by God will be there forever. We feel like many of us walk around through life feeling like we've been unseen or nobody notices. But our Lord is saying, "The place where I dwell, trust me, I see you. I feel you. And my heart will be there forever, perpetually." His heart is with us. His desires are with us. His desire, in fact, is for his name to be glorified in us. If you feel like you're the forgotten of the world, remember what God said through his teacher James in James 2:5. He says, "Has God not chosen the poor of this world? God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him." God has chosen the poor of this world. God looks and says, "You might feel like your house is a simple house, an unacceptable house, but I've made your house, your temple, your body, a dwelling place. I've made it acceptable." God has chosen us as he chose the virgin. Truly, the virgin carried our Lord in an unusual way, in a unique way, that no other human has carried him. She is the Theotokos, the mother of God, the mother of Christ. But each of us are to bear God in our lives, that his glory would rest upon us. His spirit would come upon us. And because of that, he says, "I've chosen you. I've chosen you before the foundation of the world, that you might be holy and blameless." Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of the late President Roosevelt, she said, "One's philosophy is not expressed best in words. One's philosophy is not best expressed in words." This is a great philosophy that we're saying, that God is dwelling upon us and within us. But she's saying that this is not just best expressed in words. Philosophy here, think of it as your worldview, what you understand to be the truth, how you govern and live your life, and how you view the world. She's telling us that your philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. Our philosophy, our belief that our homes, our temple, our body is truly the dwelling place of God, that we are chosen, is not best expressed in words. It's rather best expressed in the choices we make. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 tells us about a choice that Joshua placed before the people of God. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. Now, this is the final address of Joshua before he's about to pass on. And he leaves the people of God with a final choice to make. He tells them, I've brought you by God's command into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. And we have done great things for God. And maybe we feel like we've been brought into the body of Christ. And maybe great things have been done for us and through us in our lives. But he's leaving them with a final choice. A choice that's a perpetual choice. A choice that's a daily choice. He says, if it seems evil to you today to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Think about this choice that Joshua's making. What would have happened if the people of God or the children of Israel would have said, no, we don't accept your choice? His life would have been over. They would have killed him. Not only him, but his children. Right? They would have said, this one is causing problems for us. And if you think it can't happen, look throughout the Old Testament. Many times, the prophets were killed because the people said, we don't accept this. Joshua made a difficult choice in front of the entire assembly of God. And this choice could have ended his entire lineage. His whole name could have been erased. But he called the people of God to a choice. He reminded them, in order to be acceptable, to be chosen, to be ongoing acceptable, you have to choose day by day to choose God. You have to choose day by day to be the dwelling place of God. When you have to make a choice and you don't make it, that itself is a choice. When you have to make a choice about accepting a job promotion at work and you choose to not make that choice, that itself is a choice. They'll say, this one doesn't want the promotion. If you have to make a choice to choose God today, and if tomorrow comes, tomorrow, and if the day after that comes, that day, and you choose to not make it, that itself is a choice. That you're saying, not today, Lord. But Joshua's telling us, make a choice. God told Solomon, you've chosen to make this a dwelling place, my house. But the day will come where the children will refuse me. The children will turn away from me. And he says, what will happen in that day, heaven will be shut up. And there will be no rain. In other words, there will be no fruit in your life. If your life is spiritually barren, then God is speaking to you this morning through his word. He says, in that day, if you, my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from him and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Fruit will come back. God's name will be glorified again. God's name and his glory will rest upon us once again. And our house, our temple, our body will shine forth once again with the glory of God. we have to choose daily. I want to close with Psalm 119, verse 30 to 32. The psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. I have chosen the way of truth. This morning, I invite you to choose. God is looking and saying, if you choose, you will become my chosen. And continue to choose that you might continue to be my chosen. And as hardship comes, repent and choose again to be my chosen. To be the place that's dedicated for me perpetually. Not just at the beginning of the journey or the middle of the journey, but all the way through the journey. All glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.